I would like to ask Brother Al to come forward and give a prayer for Brother Bob's discourse.
Our dear, loving Heavenly Father, humbly we bow our heads as we come into thy presence to ask a special blessing on all the brethren gathered here today. And we would also like to particularly ask a special blessing to Brother Robert for the wonderful work he has done to prepare a discourse for us today. We do this in reverence to the birth of thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
We are blessed to have Brother Robert to serve us again. He is very faithful in attending conventions. This is the second time that we will have him to serve at our convention. We are looking forward to his service. And with this introductory hymn, I don't think I need to introduce his talk, Brother Robert.
My dear brethren, it's good to be with you. Appreciate being here. Try to get my security there. Okay, there we go. The dividing of time is the subject. Brethren, I was listening to the opening remarks here, and our Heavenly Father has given us a great gift, and that great gift is He has allowed us to look into His secret places in advance of the world. And it allows our minds to be opened up and enhanced to time prophecy. And really, if we think about how we differ from the nominal masses, for the most part, this is it. That we understand where we are on the stream of time, what our position with our Heavenly Father is, and what our reward will be if faithful. This is what we understand. So our subject, the dividing of time. Now, this speaker believes that Brother Russell was a seventh messenger to the churches. And to the extent that you receive a blessing from this discourse today, it is merely that I am summarizing or reflecting the knowledge that he's already given to us. And I hope it will be accurate and a good servant in that regard. So the dividing of time. A summary of God's favor and disfavor has been determined upon the nation of Israel and the true Israelites and the false nominal systems in the harvests or ends of the respective ages. Our new spiritual minds are shaped and transformed by the dividing or discernment of time at this end of the age. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, that is, to cut straight, to teach the truth directly and correctly, the word of truth. Logical patterns of thinking. Examination of the evidence of Scripture and events. They produce a measure of wisdom and good decision-making in us, brethren. Our mentalities transform our characters. In fact, this is the only way that it happens. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We believe what we do because of hard evidence, powerful, undeniable, chronological proofs that defy mathematical possibilities. The chronology of the parallels is based entirely upon the duration of the initial favor to the nation of Israel. Let me say that again. The chronology of the parallels is based entirely upon the duration of the initial favor to the nation of Israel. This is a period of 1845 years, beginning with the death of Jacob in B.C. 813 and ending with the rejection of that nation in A.D. 33. Genesis 49:2 we read, "Gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." We see how here the Jacob's name was changed to Israel as the nation was founded. Matthew 23:37, we see the rejection at the end of that period. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." These are the words of our Lord, how he must have felt rejected by his own. The scriptural indication that they would be compensated double for their sins provides a link to this end of the age. We read this in Luke 13:35. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So we see this doubling or folding of time, a period of disfavor from A.D. 33, and adding 1,845 years, we arrive at our date, A.D. 1878, as the date when favor was due to begin returning to that nation. We are all aware of the chronological events that began happening at that time, a gradual process restricted until the completion of Gentile lease of dominion and confirmed by subsequent events. And it's true in the nation of Israel that they could return to the land, and then they could own land, and then they could be reestablished as a nation in 1948. Jeremiah 16:14. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that shall be no more be said, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into the land that I gave unto their fathers. And first, before the favor will come, I will recompense them their iniquity and their sin double." Now, brethren, when prophecy is fulfilled in a very big way, it's no longer prophecy, is it? One of the strongest visual evidences we have of the return of our Lord and favor coming back to mankind is the nation of Israel reestablished, because it's undeniable. And we can see that in every step of the way how the Lord has dealt with them so far. Zechariah 9:12. "Turn to you the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." And Isaiah 42, "Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And we see it's interesting in these scriptures how important this was to our Heavenly Father to have it recorded in this way. Because we have the first scripture looking forward, the second scripture looking at the time of our Lord's first advent, and the third scripture looking at it already being accomplished. This should be a confirmation of our faith. They refer, these prophets, Jeremiah, Zechariah, refer to a double or folding in the middle of time. These are Mishnah or Kephel is how they are referred to, declaring that from the time of their being cast off from all favor into the time of their return to favor would be a repetition or duplication in time of their previous history, during which time they had enjoyed divine favor. Read this in reference to second volume, page 218. And we've already noted those multiple points of reference. So, brethren, what we refer to as the parallels are derived from the 70 weeks prophecy, particularly the 70th week of Daniel 9. We'll read this. And I hear from Dan that Beard, that he'll have a little tie-in and a follow-up discourse maybe to expand this point. Daniel 9:25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 70 weeks. And after 70 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So here we have with this prophecy the numerology at our Lord's first advent. These dates were A.D. 29 in the fall. Adding 3.5 years, we're arriving at A.D. 33 in the spring. And 3.5 years, then again later, we have A.D. 36 in the fall. This was the 70th week. Now, if we project forward to his second advent, with this 1845-day period consistently applied, at his second advent, these dates were A.D. 1874, plus 3.5 years equals A.D. 1878, plus 3.5 years equals A.D. 1881. The 1845-year measurement of the doubling of time separates each of these parallel dates. And this is how we talk about the parallels. These periods of time separated by 1845 years of the Jewish double. The ending of the times of the Gentiles enhances and brackets the time picture. Our studies have shown that the times of the Gentiles were a period of 2,520 years, 7 times 360, commencing in B.C. 606 and ending in A.D. 1914. Leviticus 26:18, "And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times for all your sins." It is a historical fact that the Gentile lease of dominion ended at 1914 and their eviction commenced with the start of World War I. Ezekiel 21:26, we read, "Remove the diadem and take off the crown. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him." And when we think about these universal empires, okay, the first four universal empires and the fifth, which of course is God's, through our Lord's universal empire, here we have that it was taken off, and then we have the three overturnings, and then we have the, so if you use your hand, you can understand the scripture that way. There is an obvious and direct connection between A.D. 70 and the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem and A.D. 1914. And although it is not a parallel in the same sense as the dates that are based upon the 70th week prophecy, because it's not mentioned in that prophecy, 1845 years do separate those dates. Zephaniah 3:8, "For my determination is to gather nations, that may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger." I make a reference here to reprint 5950, "The Harvest Is Not Ended." And I just want to discuss a little bit about what Brother Russell is trying to communicate in this reprint article. And you see the words here about Brother Russell acknowledging that there was a mistake about expectations. Okay? And one of the phrases that we like to repeat from that in all of our studies and consideration of scriptures is that he did not want to allow his expectations to override the facts. And so when Brother Russell recognized it wasn't going to wrap up on the time schedule that he thought, he quickly began to try to communicate to the brethren that that was indeed the case. This reprint article was doing that. And he wanted to point out very clearly that the parallels were related to the falling of the nominal systems to destruction and not to the glorification of the church, because they were all expecting that. Okay? And so this was an adjustment of expectations on the part of Brother Ruffin, a logical and necessary one. So we read, "Our mistake was along the very line that we pointed out. Time and again we reminded our readers that the parallels between the Jewish age and the gospel age could not include anything belonging to the new dispensation. The parallels affected merely the nominal Jewish house there and the nominal Christian house here. They both were rejected because of failure to be in the right condition of heart for the truths that were due to them. Both were rejected for destruction. The Jewish system was a church-state affair. It's a church-state affair, paralleled here by the great church-state systems of Europe, whose destruction began in 1914. And those church-state systems of Europe, they're gone. They exist only as shells at this point in time. So no parallels is between, we read on, no parallels is between the Pentecostal church and the church now are to be looked for. But the resurrection of Jesus before the church harvesting began may well be considered to have its parallel here in the resurrection of the sleeping members of the church, 1878 AD. Okay, now I want to make a point here. Brother Russell just made a mistake that there is no parallel application other than the nominal system. And in the next breath, he says there's a parallel to the true church. Okay? And this, as we move along here, you will see this is a point, one of the points of this lesson today. And I'll let you read the rest. I'm going to kind of skip a little bit reading it all. You're seeing it all, but as I move through here, I probably will not have time to read everything. So it'll be a visual and an audio. Not all the visual will be audio. So here we see how the nominal parallels apply to the nominal systems, both in the end of the Jewish age and the end of the gospel age. And they all have to do with the declaration of destruction of those church-state systems. So here we have these parallel dates. And in 29 and 1874, both, in the Jewish and the gospel. So you see the way I've got this organized is the 29 applies to the second column over, and the 1874 applies to the third column over, if you're catching that. Okay? To the end of the Jewish and the end of the gospel age. So in the 29, Messiah, our Lord, is present, but he was not received by his own, not knowing the time of their visitation. And in the gospel, our Lord's thief-like presence was not recognized by the nominal masses at all. And I'm not going to read the scriptures, but you can see the reference up there if you want to take them down. And in 33, 1878, he displayed his kingly authority in both ages, and Israel as a nation was rejected. Then at the end of the gospel, he assumed his kingly authority. He descended with the voice of the archangel and with a shout, assuming authority in the earth. And the rejection of mystic Babylon happened. Moving along in time on these parallels now, 36, 1881, in the Jewish, divine favors belong exclusively to the Jewish remnant for the completion of the 70 weeks. And in the gospel, the nature of the nominal systems is held up for public display by the truth message coming from without. And we think this is the meaning of the millstone picture in Revelation 18:21. We believe that Brother Russell did this work, that he held the nominal systems up for display, so everyone had an opportunity to see what their true character was. He declared them unfit to host the remnant anymore, and that the remnant should come out. And then at 70 in 1914, the final overthrow of the nation begins, the destruction of the holy city and temple. And this is the thing with 70 in 1914. These were the beginnings of processes. They were not the final end of the process. It's the same at the end of the gospel here, where Babylon is cast into the sea and the plagues come upon her due to her unauthorized union with the civil powers and her contaminated condition. Now, I'm going to give you a little tidbit, and it's something that this speaker believes. Okay, it is just a little tidbit, and you think about it. And that is, we believe that the timing of the death of Brother Russell was absolutely 100% on time. And one of the reasons we believe this, of course, we could believe it in a very general sense, because everything with the Lord's on time, yes? But we believe it was right on time, because in 1916, the war had been well in progress, and it was nearing the time that the plagues would start to be poured out upon society. Because we believe that Brother Russell was on the other side of the veil and participated in the starting of the pouring out of the plagues. That's why we believe that the timing was precise. So we see that the primary application of both the houses of Israel is towards the nominal systems at the ends of both ages. And upon the declaration of the rejection, their judgment commences. And we're not going to reread these scriptures here, but you can view them there. And at the end of this age, Revelation 18:2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and so forth. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So this is the work that Brother Russell was so diligently doing to present the truth and get the part, a portion of the wheat that was in those systems out of those systems. Please note here how the scriptures indicate that the plagues she would participate in could not be poured out into upon society until after the Gentile times were complete, sometime around 1914. And the reason we're saying the plagues she would participate in, because Babylon participated in the plagues because she was tied to the church-state union system, tied to society, tied to those institutions. That's the reason they're referred to as her plagues. At the end of both ages, this is the beautiful thing for us, brethren, as favor is removed from the nominal houses, the remnant or sanctuary class is specially blessed by the progress of the new or incoming age. Thus, we are able to attach spiritual events to these same dates. So here we are developing now that we have what we might refer to as a triple application of the parallels, the first and primary to the nominal systems. But it is determined by favor coming to and from Israel. And now we will see that there are what we believe spiritual applications to the same parallels. If I had not shown you any of these slides, and I had given you the matrix that you saw up here, and said, fill in the event that happened in that particular quadrant, I can guarantee that you would have presented a mixture of nominal and spiritual parallels. All I'm doing is splitting them up as like this, so they're not mixed anymore. This is what we're attempting to do. So favor to true Israelites, earthly and spiritual, application of events at the end of the age. So now we are on spiritual parallels. 29:18-74. In the Jewish age, Jesus was anointed as bridegroom, reaper, and king. Acts 10:38. He was recognized by his close followers. The apostles are selected. And in the gospel, our Lord returns at a second advent as bridegroom, reaper, and king. You see these scriptures here. And the times of restitution begin. The blessings start to flow. First to the watchers, first to the true believers, and later on to the world of mankind. Of course, the flow to the world of mankind, as we understand the scriptures, comes through the nation of Israel as the blessed people. And in 33:18-78, ransom and resurrection of our Lord. Holy Spirit goes to the remnant. The typical temple is cleansed, and the antitype is revealed. And in the gospel, kingly authority is exercised by the raising of the sleeping saints. And the call to the remnant comes out, and the return of favor to natural Israel begins. So here we have, these are the favor returning to the true Israelites, both earthly true Israelites and spiritual true Israelites at the end of the age. And in AD 36 and 1881, we see in the Jewish, there's an extension of call to the Gentiles. It begins in AD 36 with Cornelius. And here in the gospel, the general call ceases at that date, and all clowns are allocated. The separating work is ongoing, and the man with the writer's inkhorn completes his work. That work, of course, being a process between the beginning of his ministry and to the ending of his ministry. A process. But did not Brother Russell mark those that sighed and cried in Babylon? He did do that work. And in 70 and 1914, those followers remaining attached to those systems in the Jewish, they would be impacted by their destruction, wouldn't they? If they were part of their nation, if their hopes and aspirations were part of that nation, they would be impacted by the destruction of the nation. And in the gospel also, those remaining in the nominal systems due to worldly attachments and influenced by that choice, they are negatively impacted by Babylon's destruction because they're tied to it. You know, brethren, this is kind of a principle for us also. And that is, to the extent that we are tied to systems and institutions of this world, and then they're being destroyed, we will be impacted. It's something that will happen. We would want to touch them lightly. Here are some references to Brother Russell's latest and summary thoughts on the parallels. September 1st, 1916. And this is a part of the same reprint article, 5950. Our readers will remember that the basis of our expectations respecting the harvest time was the parallelisms between the closing of the Jewish age and the closing of the gospel age. We found the beginning of the harvest time clearly marked by the 1,335 days of prophecy and by the fulfillment amongst God's people of the declaration, O the blessedness of him that waiteth and cometh to the end of the 1,335 days. And what a blessed time that was. That new information pouring out and darkness being eliminated. That's with the declaration going out of thy God reigneth. Surely great blessedness, great enlightenment of the eyes of understanding, great appreciation of our God and his glorious purposes came to the Lord's people at that time in full agreement with that prophecy. Can you imagine living back then, not understanding any of the things that we understand, and having it revealed? It's a tremendous period of time, history. Volume 2, page 26. To be borne in mind that fleshly Israel, except the friends of God, stumbled and knew not the time of their visitation, and that the prophet has foretold the stumbling of both the houses of Israel, and so forth. And a remnant in the close or harvest of each dispensation is prepared to receive and to appreciate the truths then due, and therefore to enter into the special privileges and blessings of the dawning dispensation. The end of the Jewish age, those new and living way have been opened up. The Lord opened up to his apostles and his disciples. What a tremendous time it was. We have been privileged to have that parallel at this end of the age, to have the new truths of the new age revealed to us. A tremendous privilege we have, brethren. Volume 2, page 241. Those who have the eyes of their understanding enlightened do not stumble, but as they climb upon the rock from its higher standpoint, they see much more clearly both the past and the future of the divine plan. Some things not possible to utter even, relative to the coming glory of the church and the gala day of earth. Volume 3, page 150. All the time features connected with the Jewish harvest, though they sometimes indirectly related to the faithful, here you are again, a reference to spiritual parallels, had their direct bearing upon the great nominal mass and marked periods of its trial, rejection, overthrow, and destruction as a system of church nation. And in Volume 2, page 16, one of my favorite quotes that describes the events that would occur in the harvest or the end of the age. They're the same period, okay? The same period from 1874 to whenever the age ends, whenever that is. We find that many great and wonderful events center in this harvest, that in it occur the great time of trouble, which we've already seen well in process, the day of Jehovah also, the final and complete overthrow of Antichrist and the fall of great Babylon, certainly in process, at the beginning of returning favor to the Jew, certainly very much in process, the second advent of the Lord and the establishment of his kingdom and the resurrection and reward of the saints. Well, the resurrection and reward of the saints. Well, the good majority of that already happened too, didn't it? The second advent of our Lord and the establishment of his kingdom. The scriptures declare the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our Lord. Do we see the mediatorial phase yet? No. But that's merely an insertion of a time when the way that God communicates with the mankind will change. So now we see the blessings flowing, brethren. I'm getting into the good part. It is important to acknowledge that the chief blessings of the new millennial age, they flow to both phases of the incoming kingdom, the earthly to the nation of Israel, and the spiritual to the antitypical Israel. And they do so in advance of the world as we work towards the mediatorial arrangement. Now, when will that mediatorial arrangement occur? I don't see any hands, see? That's a good thing. The mediatorial arrangement will occur when God wants it to, when it's the appropriate and best time for his purposes to insert the mediator. That's when it will occur. Though the promises to the fleshly house were and still are grand and precious. Imagine that. The fleshly house promises grand and precious. The promises to the spiritual house are characterized as even better promises and exceeding great and precious promises. And you see the references there. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. So now we see the accelerating blessings to the world of mankind. This is the day in what we live in. We see accelerating blessings to the world of mankind. The times of restitution begin and they continue unabated. Not only just unabated, they're accelerating. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And our Lord assumes his authority and he establishes his kingdom, 1874. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kings of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the hymn we sang. Our Lord knows no defeat. Neither Satan or all his influence over the various elements of society can stop the progress of our King and the risen saints. For 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Again, creating this tremendous process that will happen over the 1,000-year period. And Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Our Lord's purpose is to heal the nations, to restore mankind to paradise lost. The risen saints are now participating in that purpose. We, if faithful, will participate in that purpose. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And in Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. And I'm skipping a little bit here to verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Celebrating blessings occurring through Israel and our Lord's allies. Yes, brethren, our Lord has a lot of allies in the earth. Agencies. They don't even, many, all probably, except for a few here, many, some sitting in this room, don't understand how they're allies. But they're allies, nonetheless. They are allies. We see how some of the great advances in technology, and this isn't just in one area, like we all have computers and technologies and so forth, but in all levels of society, there are tremendous advances happening in every single area. Things discovered that were not known before. and they are intended to be a process for the blessing of the nations. Even as this blessing flows, though, we know that the completion of the church has not occurred. And I'm just going to present a very strong proof text for this. It's found in Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in, until the completion of the church. Now, does Israel today recognize the Messiah? We think not. Micah 4:2. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways and he will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What a tremendous provision we have here. What a tremendous provision. That blessed earthly nation, those true Israelites living over in Israel right now, they're going to have quite a privilege when the ancient worthies come on the scene. Quite a tremendous privilege. And brethren, I guess that's it because that's the last slide. That's almost ended in time. So brethren, if you receive a blessing, maybe rush through a little bit. It's nothing to do with this speaker. It has everything to do with merely the Lord's Holy Spirit within you. You might receive a blessing. You might take these tremendous privileges we have to see these chronological events, to be able to understand and interpret Earth's affairs. Because, brethren, if we can't see the silver lining, okay, in what's happening in the Earth today, who can? If we can't see it, who possibly can? We should be the most optimistic people on the face of the planet. Sure, can we see the trouble? You notice I didn't talk a lot about trouble today, because it's obvious, okay, that there's a lot of trouble in the Earth. Right? But amidst that trouble, there are these grand trends happening, these grand ushering in of the new age, and these tremendous blessings that are flowing first to the Lord's people, to the true Israelites, Israel, and to the world of mankind also. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Robert, for your talk. Every time we talk about issues like this, I cannot help not to ask myself a simple question. Lord, am I faithful to you? Am I doing all that I can do at this time to be close to you and recognize who you are and what you are doing on this earth? We will close this portion of our meeting with singing the two remaining verses of hymn number 171. While you are looking for the hymn, I wanted to convey love from brother and sister Mark and Ella Chastain and their family. Hymn number 171, verse 3 and 4, and we shall rise after singing the verse 3. Enthusiasm in singing the second verse.
kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We thank thee for thy presence with us this hour, Father. We thank thee for thy ongoing direction in our lives. We thank you for the beautiful, precious promises that are revealed to us. We thank you for this faith-strengthening chronology as presented to us by thy servant. We thank thee, Father, that we've been given this grand privilege to be called sons of thee. We thank you for the great sacrifice of thy Son on our behalf, that we might have the covering robe of righteousness, that we might receive the Holy Spirit, and we might transform our character so we can be of service to thee. We thank thee, Father, for taking thy great power and reigning through thy Lord and the risen saints, and all the many marvelous things thou was accomplishing on the earth. And we are encouraged day by day to see these things as they come to pass. We look forward to the full completion of thy efforts, and we hope, if faithful, that we would have a part in those efforts. And we ask forgiveness for what we may have said or done amiss, and a special blessing upon all these dear ones here. We ask these things in Jesus' name.